Welcome to the final parak of Sefer Ezra. Here we have, during Ezra's tefillos, people come to him crying. Even if it was only a minority who took non-Jewish wives, but the social responsibility we have together and the fact that no one objected meant this was a national issue. Again, Ezra felt it was going to stop the Geula. The Shechaniah, he proposes making a bris, make a national covenant, not a bris milah, but an agreement, a covenant. There's a gathering in Yerushalayim for 3 days later, which is Chof Kislev. The majority of the people then separated from their non-Jewish wives. They bring a korban asham, a guilt offering. And there was some opposition from a handful of people. And it lists those who took non-Jewish wives. Unbelievable. Besmirched for history. The presence of this asham is a bit of a machlokes. After all, where does the Torah demand an asham for intermarriage? Rashi in the Ralbag says it was temporary. It was a temporary measure to emphasize the importance of correcting this sin. The Malbim says no. It comes from the Shivcha Charufa, which does require an Asham, which is quite an interesting case. The Malbim says that Rashi was forced to say that it wasn't the Shivcha Charufa because the laws of the Jewish slave only apply when Yovel was observed, and Rashi held the Yovel wasn't observed until the second Beis Hamikdash. A bit of lomdus for you, a bit of depth. The Ralbag says we can learn from Ezra's conduct how to rebuke people in a careful, thought-out way that the listener is going to actually listen to. That is the end of Sefer Ezra, but the story continues in Sefer Nehemiah.